drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. Aren't you thankful for the overwhelming peace of the Father? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that place where we can just lay back against him and just breathe. Anybody ever had to have a moment where you just needed to breathe? Hallelujah. You just needed a moment away. You just needed a moment to feel the heartbeat of the Father. Hallelujah. And know that there is a safe place that we can come. There's a place of safety. There's a place of peace. There's a place where we can just trust him with everything. Hallelujah. And I'll just be real honest. I'm still trying to come to that place where I can trust him with everything, with every part of my being, every part of who I am. How many know Jesus' disciples hung out with him day and night, and they saw miracles, and you know, they saw the crazy, wonderful things that he did. But there was still a moment when they got on a boat, and Jesus said to them, he said, get in the boat and go to the other side. Hallelujah. How many know we're still on plan A? No plan B. He said, get in the boat and go to the other side. Amen? Hallelujah. And that seemed easy enough, right? And they get in the boat and they get ready to go to the other side. But, you know that word but, we talked about that last Sunday. That but word means behold unfailing truth. There's more, there's continuance, there's more to come, right? And so he says, get in the boat and go to the other side. And however, when they get in the boat and they start to go to the other side. Now, how many know these are fishermen and they know how to handle a boat, right? This isn't their first rodeo. You know, they've been in a boat before. And he tells them, get in a boat and go to the other side. But a storm arises of historic proportion. Now, the scripture says it was a big storm. It wasn't just a little rainstorm. Amen? It was a big storm. And so, you know, in one story, Jesus comes walking to them on the water in the midst of the storm. Yeah. How many know, even in when you are having a storm in your life, he's still in the midst of your storm. Yeah. Rather, he comes walking on the water and challenges you to get out of your safety zone and get out of your boat and come to where he is. I mean, no, that's what worship does for us. It draws us to a place where he is, where we come to that place where we literally can feel like we sit back against him and breathe. Yeah. Hallelujah. Or rather, you're in the boat and he's asleep. The scripture said in one sense, in another instance, he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so they realize that Jesus is in the boat, but there's still a storm. How many know you can have Jesus in the boat and still have storms? Yes. Hallelujah. I mean, life happens sometimes. Sometimes you don't see him coming. But here's the deal. When the disciples realize that the storm is out of their control, they realize he's in the hinder part of the ship, and they go down to him and they say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Jesus gives up out of the boat and he speaks peace to the storm. And he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Hallelujah. How many know we don't always doubt his ability to change the storm? But one thing we should never doubt is if he cares. You can question my theology. You can question my miracles. You can question my way I present myself. You can question who I hang out with. How many of they questioned all of that? But don't ever question if I care. Aren't you thankful that we have a God who cares about us today? Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for those moments where I can just lean back against him and breathe. Because I know he's got this. And I know he cares. Sometimes I just have to learn how to fully trust him in the midst of every situation. Hallelujah. Because what we're guilty of sometimes is we give it to God, or we say that we do, and then we take it back. And then we give it to him, and we take it back. Yes. Amen? Because we think we still have to have a certain amount of control when God just says, if you'll just let me handle this, I got it. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. in our lives, his saving grace, his mercy. But above all, you know, last Sunday we talked about his overwhelming love, his agape love, the love that loves without any expecting any response in return, a love that's not focused on my actions, how I act, what I do. Aren't you thankful for that? Because most of the time we love not in an agape love. We love in a circumstantial love, and we love according to how people love us back, and we love according to how people act. But God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. The world through him. Now, see, I love that because it says, whosoever believeth in him. Do we have any believers in the house this morning? Hallelujah. See, that was the stipulation he gave. The only thing we had to do was believe. He paid the ultimate price for us. And if I can just believe, hallelujah, then I understand he didn't come to condemn me. Aren't you glad you're not under condemnation this morning? He didn't come to condemn me. He took my condemnation on him when he went to the cross of Calvary. And he nailed it to a tree, and he buried it in a tomb, and he got back up from the dead so that I could have everything that he promised me, to be the testator of his own will, his own covenant, and his own testament this morning. So we've received that. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Hallelujah. Well, that was just a little prequel, and that wasn't even my sermon. So let's go over to Acts chapter 12 this morning. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit about prayer and fasting this morning. Everybody say, oh my, oh me. Oh my, oh me. We're in Acts chapter 12, but really, you know, we start observing, like, you know, the Lenten season, and we think about the 40 days, you know, that encompasses that, and in different arenas, different circles, you are going to have a different concept or a different understanding of prayer and fasting. Amen. But how many know under the new covenant, we still see fasting in the book of Acts? And we've been studying the book of Acts in our Bible study on Wednesday night. How many know the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, or the action of the Apostles, or the activation of the Holy Spirit? And so how many know they're learning to navigate new waters? Like, they've come from Judaism and a lot of the Old Covenant, Mosaic Law, a lot of those things that were required of them. But they're making a transition to now it's not the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and bullocks and you know, divers offerings and sacrifices. But how many are glad and thankful for the perfect lamb of sacrifice? That was, his blood was shed for us once and for all, that we could have forgiveness of our sins. So how many know they're navigating these new waters? Hallelujah. And so they spent a lot of time in prayer, fasting, and meditation. How many know fasting is basically just abstaining from something? Pulling yourself away for a time of reflection, purging, discipline. How many know fasting can be a good discipline? It's a great time to invoke your prayer life. Every time your belly growls, pray. I mean, it causes you to focus on something else. Amen. It's not a hunger strike. It doesn't get God to move because you don't eat. He's going to move any faster. Respond any differently. I mean, fasting is more for us than it is. It's a type of discipline and self-searching and drawing ourselves away for a time. How many know even Jesus fasted? Hallelujah. But, you know, I believe it's not just a time of just fasting food. I mean, probably most of us could benefit from fasting some food. But fasting causes us to focus. Yeah, that was an overwhelming amen there. Thank you, Jesus, for all two of you that agreed with that one. And fasting causes us to focus. Sometimes it clears the clutter in our head and our thoughts. It teaches us discipline, and it quiets us to hear. How many know one thing that's important in our life is just to have some quiet time to hear? Amen. Just to have some time where I don't do all the talking. I listen and allow him to talk. Hallelujah. And I allow him to speak into my life and have that intimate time that we talked about last week. And so it's fasting can be more than food. How many know sometimes it can be technology? Sometimes it'd be great to just fast Facebook. You could have said a louder amen right there too. Fasting our cell phones or maybe TV or all of those things that take our time that draw us away from that intimate time. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes I just got to turn. They have an on and off button for a reason. And sometimes you just got to turn it off and go outside, or you got to turn it off and spend time together. If you go to a restaurant these days, look around at the tables at the restaurant. And how many heads are doing this while they're waiting on their meal? And we lose our art of conversation. And we lose our art of connection. And we lose valid time. I told you last Sunday, Dan and I love dates to Lowe's. Okay, that's not the most exciting place to go maybe when you're a teenager. But when you're our age, we love Lowe's. Okay, we're okay with that. If he buys me dinner while we're out, I can find him a project to do. And we're good with that. You know, so, yeah, he's cautious sometimes now when he takes me to Lowe's because I got ideas when I get there, you know. But some of my favorite part of going on a Lowe's date is we got 40 minutes driving there on the way to talk and 40 minutes on the way back. Amen. And a life and a schedule sometimes like we keep, that's precious time. So we enjoy that. So how many know in our time and our relationship with the Lord, sometimes my best time with Jesus is on my way to work or on my way home. Or when I got to run errands in Winchester, and I'll put a CD in, or I'll put some praise and worship music in, or sometimes, after being in a kindergarten class all day, I just don't turn anything on. I just enjoy my peace and quiet. But how many know I found out when I'm silent, he talks. Hallelujah. And then I listen. And I focus. And I try to listen. I'll say it like that. And so, I mean, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Fasting some of those things. Sometimes right now people fast on Fridays, or they fast meat, or they give up a chocolate bar, or, you know, they're not going to have chocolate for. And whatever you want to do, you do whatever works for you, okay? That will not in any way equate to the suffering or the sacrifice that he did for us on the cross of Calvary. But hey, if it clears your clutter and it helps you to focus, we got to do whatever helps us to have a focus on him. Because how many know it's all about him? Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about the power of prayer this morning. And we've been talking about prayer. And we're going to have the movie The War Room in a couple weeks on March the 13th. And it's all about prayer. So if you want to come out and be a part of that and enjoy that evening together. But how many believe in the power of prayer? Hallelujah. How many know prayer doesn't just change your circumstances, but it also changes your mindset and how you see your circumstances? Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus went to the garden and prayed, the scripture says he prays that it were, and he sweated as it were great drops of blood. How many know this is some intense prayer? Now, I probably can tell you this morning with all honesty that I have not prayed that hard in my life. I've had some incidents in my life when I've prayed very hard. Amen. Anybody in here where you had to get real serious with God real quick? When I kept my granddaughter the one night and her fever shot up to 105 and she started to have a seizure, like going to the symptoms of a seizure with a fever. Let me tell you what, Nana was praying. Poppy was praying. Anybody I could get on the prayer line, we're praying because I believe that prayer changes things. And not only did I pray, I said to her, baby, you got to pray. She's like 2 years old. Baby, you got to pray. But she knows what prayer is. You think these kids don't understand what this is about? They feel the presence of the Lord just like you feel the presence of the Lord. And when God touches their life, they'll never be the same. They'll never walk away from that. Because you can have formula, you can have pattern, you can go through all the motions, but if you don't make connection in a personal relationship, you have missed out on the greatest romance of all time. Yes. And the greatest love story that there ever is. How many know I've had some times where I had to do real serious prayer? You know, sometimes our prayer involves God is great, God is good. And we thank him for this food. you know. And that's the extent of our prayer. Amen? Or sometimes we say a fleeting prayer, Jesus, help them. But how many know there's sometimes when you got to just get in your prayer closet? Yes, hallelujah. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. How many know sometimes when we pray and we seek God for an answer, how many know sometimes the answer's no? I mean, sometimes we need to throw up our hands and thank God for unanswered prayers. Because in our own mind, in our own mentality, we know what we want. But how many are thankful for a Father that knows what's best for you? Father knows best. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about a guy named Peter today. And in Acts chapter 12, how many know they are learning to navigate this new covenant? The apostles and the disciples are learning to navigate this new covenant, and they're preaching a gospel that's not popular. They're preaching resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and the life through Christ. Not life through the law, but life through the blood of Jesus. And how many know that Peter has went through a lot of transformations in the last couple years in the scriptures? I mean, Peter goes from being the guy that says, you know, Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you really want to know who they say you are? You really want to know what they're saying about you? He said, Peter, who do you say I am? And he said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. How many know for the moment Peter is Time Magazine of the year? He has got revelation. He's got understanding. And I mean, look, on the gates, I mean, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now, that's like Time Magazine stuff, right? But it's not but just a few more scriptures later that he says, but now listen, guys, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and I'm going to be delivered up to be crucified. And he begins to tell him, and Peter draws him aside and says, not so, Lord, what are you saying? And Jesus says to the same Time Magazine man of the year, get behind me, Satan. Anybody in here relate with Peter? I mean, he's like on top of the mountain one moment, and the next moment he's like, get behind me, Satan. He's like, whoa, what? You know, and then Jesus says crazy stuff like, you know, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter, you know. And he takes him, he washes their feet, and he sits with them before. And Peter says, Lord, I'm going to die with you. I have got your back. I'm with you in this. We got this. And he said, Peter, I hate to break it to you, but before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter looks at him like, you know, I thought we were buds. I thought we were tight, you know. But how many know Jesus knew Peter's heart way better than he knew it himself? The Father knows our heart way better than we know it ourselves. And sometimes, I got to tell you, there's sometimes when I mean everything I say and I think I got it together, but before the morning hits and the rooster crows, I find out I wasn't as strong as I thought I was. Anybody else in here? And then I hear the sound of that rascally rooster that wants to broadcast that I just did what I said I wasn't going to do. But what I love about that rooster, he wasn't telling all of Peter's mess up. He said, hey, Peter, it's a brand new day. Yesterday was yesterday, but today's a brand new day. If you ever get a concept of that, that you don't have to live in your failures and your faults and your fears. Hallelujah. But the rooster says, you know what, Peter, that was yesterday, but today is a brand new day. How many know Peter's the one who stands up on the day of Pentecost in the upper room and says, men and brethren, we're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied of the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he begins to preach the book of Joel, and the scripture says, and 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. I'd say that's a pretty successful revival meeting. Hallelujah. I mean, Peter went through many transformations in his life, many changes, many understandings. And so we get to the book of Acts without covering all the life of Peter, because I could just preach on him all day, because I love the character of Peter. Amen? Because I can so relate to him in my life because I'm figuring my way out. I'm finding my way through this. Amen? And sometimes, to be real honest, the more I study the scriptures, the more I know I don't know, then the more I know I do know. Because as God begins to open things and make more things more real to me, I'm like, how did I not see that? Amen? But that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of coming together. That's the beauty of every joint supplies, because we share and we impart to each other and we have a greater understanding. Hallelujah. It doesn't do you any good to get any older and not get any wiser. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to be like wisdom, Lord. I want to be like Solomon. Lord, give me wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 12, and let's just start at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. They were under major persecution for the gospel that you're hearing this morning. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. How many know we're getting ready to go into that season of Easter, or what we call Easter Passover? Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. It says he had 4 quaterions of soldiers, 16 soldiers assigned to this big bad man named Peter. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God in them. How many believe prayer changes things? Hallelujah. I believe in a praying church. Hallelujah. And it says it was made without ceasing. Aren't you glad for backup? Aren't you glad for backup? Because how many know sometimes the scripture says when we are weak, he is strong in us. I'm thankful for the times when I don't have the strength to pray myself out of it. Amen. That I got somebody I can connect to and say, I need your prayer. I need strength and I need a word of encouragement. I need you to speak something into me outside of where my mind is. I need you to encourage me. I need you to pray with me. Let's believe God, because the scripture says we're 2 or 3 are gathered together. There I am in the midst of them. So we got 2 or 3 in here this morning. Amen. How many know 12 disciples turned the world upside down? Do you got it in you? Hallelujah. And so it said the prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for them. But I love this next verse. It says, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was fasting, praying, crying out to God. No, it says Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. They seriously did not want this guy out of there. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. So here we have Peter, and he's asleep in the prison. I mean, no, you can be at rest even in a place of struggle. Yeah. There can be an inner peace inside of you even when everything outside of you seems like it's crazy. Yeah. But how many know sometimes we can also fall asleep in a situation and be comfortable in those chains and bounds? And what happens, it says, and the angel comes along and smacks Peter and says, Peter, get up out of here. I mean, you know, sometimes you've got to have somebody just give you a little tap and say, get up out of this place. This is not where you belong. You were not meant to. You might have been bound. You might have been chained. You might not. It might not even been your fault that you got here. But this is not where you're meant to stay. This is not your eternal habitation. This is not your residence. And whatever you do, don't put out a mailbox. Hallelujah. Don't get yourself a P.O. box. Because this is not where you're meant to be. How many know we need a nudge sometime from the Holy Spirit that says, this is not your permanent residence. This is not where you belong. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself put on your sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto them, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Hallelujah. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. How many know he says to Peter, you got to get up, get your shoes on, wash your face, put your clothes on, and we're getting out of this place. Amen. How many know one of the worst things you can do if you are struggling in areas of your life is to become comfortable there and quit fighting? Hallelujah. And just resolve yourself to the fact that nothing's going to change. Because nothing will change until you have a mindset of change. How many know your mind first has to change before anything else comes change? You got to make up your mind, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I don't want to be here anymore. And to do that, sometimes you got to get up, put your shoes on, comb your hair, get yourself ready, and say, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to start walking this thing out. Because when we give up, then we're done. Amen? Hallelujah. So don't, if you're in a place where you're struggling, don't take up residency there. Don't get too comfortable. And he said, he thought he saw a vision or thought it was a dream. And then when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people. You can take that word Herod there. He says, the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of. What is it that we need deliverance from in our life? Sometimes fear might be your Herod. Sometimes discouragement might be your Herod. Sometimes depression might need be, sometimes addiction, sometimes poverty mindsets might be your Herod. How many know he has the power to deliver us out of those situations? Because he has, he said, by the renewing of our minds. The scripture says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, what? And he delivered me from all my fears. What do you do when you magnify something? You make it bigger. You know, we think about, oh, magnify the Lord, and we lift up his voice, and we worship him. And that's great, because it takes our focus off of us, and it puts our focus on him and something higher and stronger than what I am. But how many know to magnify the Lord is to make him bigger? How many know we realize how big he is? And how little our problems and our circumstances are. And all of a sudden we realize there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know when David went up to fight the giant Goliath, he couldn't focus on how big the giant was. He had to focus on how big his God was. Hallelujah. And there would become a time even in the great giant killer's life when he had it all together, there would come a time in his life he would forget what he was born to do. Hallelujah. And he would have reminders all through his life. He goes down to the house of the priest of Nob, and he says, do you, and when he's running from Saul, his enemies chasing him, like, you just took down Goliath the giant and you're running from Saul. And he allowed fear to be his Herod. How many times do we allow fear to keep us from doing what maybe what our dreams are? Most people that don't step out into their own business or career or, you know, make changes in their life don't do it out of fear. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of financial stress. And we say, well, what if I don't make it? Well, what if you do? Amen. Amen? What if you do? Most successful stories in our country of people who have been successful have at least faced bankruptcy at some point in their life. But they didn't give up. How many know Orville and Wilbur Wright got up one morning and said, I think I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. But guess what? The first time they flew, they didn't go very far. And do you think there were probably some naysayers in the life of Orville and Wilbur that said, what do you think you're doing? Birds fly, bees fly, people don't fly. But today, if I wanted to, I could be on a jet and go to any place in this world I wanted to go, because somebody didn't take no for an answer. Somebody didn't live by fear. Somebody didn't care what people's voices had to say about them, because there was something inside of them said, no, I think I can fly. They weren't driven by fear. They were driven by an inner voice that says, you got this. You can do this. Hallelujah. You ever face fear in your life? It can be very crippling. But our Herod, the things that bound us, our Herod can be many, many things that we can become enchained to. And if we're not careful, we'll think it's permanent and become comfortable there. But the angel gives him a little tap and said, Peter, get up out of this place. You were born for more than this. You were born for such a time as this. And so when he had considered the thing, when he thought about it, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. That's King James Version for you are crazy, girl. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now we think about this. So Peter's still about half in a daze, and he's brought to the gate. How many know this? We just said that Jesus told him, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. They bring him to the gates of the city. And he knocks on the door, still with a little bit of sleep in his eyes. And a young maiden named Rhoda comes to answer the door. And when she answers the door, she says, oh, and closes the door and goes back in and says to them, you're not going to believe this, but Peter's at the door. And all those praying saints in there, they said, you're crazy, girl. Now, put yourself there in that spot for a little bit, but do you ever pray for things and think, I don't even know if this could happen? And sometimes we're astonished when God does what he said he would do. And when God fulfills his promises to you. Anybody ever had God fulfill a promise to you and say, wow, thank you, Jesus. But sometimes we're like that. We're so involved in our prayer and praying down and getting God to move. And when God moves, we're astonished by it, or we forget to stop and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so she goes back in and tells them, listen, guys, you're not going to believe this, but our prayers have been answered. Peter is at the door. And so they were shocked and astonished even at their own prayers. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there he abode. And it says, Peter beckons to him, tells him to hold their peace. And he began to declare unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he began to testify to them of the faithfulness of God in his life and how God had delivered him from the prison that he was in, the chains that had held him, the boundaries that had stopped him, and how God had brought him to this place. Hallelujah. How many know your testimony is powerful? Because what it does is it encourages somebody else that says, hey, I've been there, but I'm not there now. I understand where you're at, but there's healing beyond where you are. You don't have to stay here. Hallelujah. How many know Peter began to tell them how God delivered him from his Herod, how God delivered him from his prison, how God delivered him from his bounds and his chains and his shackles. Hallelujah. How many know when we begin to say the faithfulness of God in our life and how, you know, I don't know what your struggle can be sometimes. Amen. But I know even in my own personal life when God has moved on my behalf, and I knew it was God. When we were early on married and we struggled financially, and there were times when my husband was a builder. He's one of the hardest working men I know. But how many know you can't build too much when it's snowing? I mean, there's times when you can't go to work, but the bills still have to be paid. Amen? And I can't tell you the times that God met our need, that we never missed a house payment. There was a time that there was money in my bank account, and I didn't put it there. I don't know if it was a mistake. I took it to the bank. I said, there's a mistake in my account. They brought it back. They said, there's no mistake. It's your money. I said, then that's just a God thing. Amen. Amen. There's times in my life where I've struggled with fear, or I've struggled with depression, or I've struggled with inferiorities or insecurities in my life. And I'm probably not the only one in the room, so you don't have to raise your hand. I'll just expose myself. Is that all right? Because we're all vulnerable before Him. But I can tell you the power of God in my life that has kept me going and kept me focused and kept me taking one foot in front of the other and keep on moving on, because I'm not going to die in this place. I'm not going to stay here. I know I was anointed and appointed. I was destined and purposed. I was born for this, and I refused to let something like that control my destiny and what God has purposed in my life. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to just get up? You got to arise. You got to shake some things off. You got to sometimes turn a deaf ear to voices that aren't speaking positive things into your life. How many know some of the greatest dream crushers in your life can be those who are the closest to you? Absolutely. And it's not that they mean it. They're speaking out of their logic. Hallelujah. How many know when Joseph of the Old Testament, Joseph, began to share his dream with his brothers, they got angry with him. They sold him to the Egyptians. They caused him a whole lot of problems. How many know you got to be careful sometimes who you share your dreams with? Because not everybody's on board. Hallelujah. But there would come a time in Joseph's life after everything that he had been through, that he's got position, he's next to Pharaoh, he's got authority, he's got food, he's got vision. He's interpreting dreams. They put him, you know, in position, and he's the one that stores up all the food for all of Egypt and the famine. But he still doesn't have his family. And he still hasn't quite seen his dream. But there'll come a day that his brethren have to come from afar and come and bow down before him for food. And they don't know who Joseph is, but Joseph knows who they are. And the scripture says, and when Joseph looks and sees his family kneeled down, because his dream was that they would bow down to him, Joseph doesn't weep because he's standing there thinking, I've finally arrived, I'm successful, I've made it. What he weeps for is said, that is the fulfillment of my dream. God gave me a dream, and I thought it wouldn't come to pass. And I thought I had lost my dream, and I thought it had slipped through my fingers. And I thought my enemy had crushed my dream. But today I stand here because God was faithful to fulfill my dream. And how many know even the ones that had meant harm against Joseph, he was able to administer life back to them, even in the midst of that. Hallelujah. I refuse to let the dream die. Amen. How many of sometimes you just got to refuse to let the dream die? Peter said he thought he was in a vision. He thought he was seeing things. He thought it couldn't be. And even those who were praying for him thought it couldn't be. But God. See, in every situation in our life and everything that we face, there's always a but God. See, in our own natural eyes, it looks like circumstances are beyond our control. Sometimes it looks like things can't turn around. It looks like things can't change. But I pray daily, Lord, I just need you to part the Red Sea. I need you to part the Red Sea today, God. Because people I love are bound by a Herod, by chains, and by prison doors. Whether of their making or somebody else's making. But I refuse to give up because I believe in the power of prayer. I believe God can part the Red Sea. I believe God can feed a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish. All we needed was one lad that packed his lunch. Said, you can have what I have. I believe in the God who can open blinded eyes. How many know sometimes the greatest blindness is not our own physical blindness? It's a spiritual blindness. Sometimes our greatest crippling is not a physical crippling. It's a mental crippling. Things in our mind. When that little lady came into the house and she was bowed over, and the scripture said for 18 years she had been bowed over, and the scripture said she could not lift herself up. Another Bible translation says she couldn't straighten up. Do you know anybody bowed over that just can't straighten up? Hard as they try on their own, they can't straighten up. But what Jesus began to say to her is, wait a minute, you have forgotten that you are a daughter of Abraham, and you have the right to be made whole. And he began to speak to her, and what she had only ever focused on for 18 long years was her own footsteps and the earthly level and everything that was below her and under her. But for the first time in the presence of Jesus, he lifted her up and she could look into the heavenlies and see that there was something greater than what she had been focused on. How many know sometimes you got to focus? Your attitude will determine your altitude. Sometimes I got to quit my stinking thinking. Anybody ever have stinking thinking? Where I forget for the moment who I am and what God has purposed to me to be. And not that my own power or strength can do it, but the power of Christ in me. Hallelujah. In his life inside of me. Hallelujah. So when we think about prayer and fasting and those kind of things, I think about taking our focus to another level. Amen? Thinking outside the box. Thinking outside the realm of my own ability. Because in my own strength, I'm nothing. In my own power, I'm nothing. But the power of Christ that works within me. Hallelujah. And so instead of thinking about fasting in a way that, how many know fasting is kind of like saying diet? They're both a four-letter word. You got to watch those four-letter words, you know. And so the moment you say dieting, it feels like your little guts are eating your big guts, right? You know, you feel like you're starving to death. And everything, all of a sudden you start focusing on what you can have instead of what you can have. Amen. But how many know if we start thinking about it in a different way, not so much about diet, but about what we eat and what makes us healthy. How many know it's not always what you take out of your diet or you take away as much as it is what you put into it. Amen. Instead of talking about everything that you can have, you start thinking about all of the things that you can have. How many know if we would just start adding the healthy things to our diets, more fruits, more vegetables, you know, all of those healthy things into our diets, how many know you have less room for the things that don't belong in your diet? So how many know in our prayer life and in our Christian life, it's the same way. It's not so much about what we take away, although that can be effective discipline. But how many know we got to add some things into our life, into our lifestyle? How many know we need to add prayer? The scripture says in James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Any righteous people in here this morning? Come on, you all need to raise your hand, because you're not righteous by virtue of your own actions. You're righteous by virtue of his blood. Hallelujah. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. I mean, we need to add some prayer. We need to add some worship. Hallelujah. And the scripture talks about in Colossians 3:16, it says, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know, as we begin to sing unto the Lord, it changes circumstances. I said to somebody this week, we can be a thermostat or a thermometer. How many know there's a difference between the two? A thermometer can tell you what the temperature is in this room. But a thermostat has the power to change the atmosphere. How many thermostats we got in here this morning? We're not just gauging what the atmosphere is, but how many know when we walk into a situation, you have the power to change the atmosphere? You have power to change the atmosphere in your home. You have power to change the atmosphere on your job. Hallelujah. And that's what psalms and hymns and spiritual songs does for me. It makes me focus on something outside of myself. Hallelujah. It gets me out of self-pity and gets me focused on him. So we need to add prayer, add worship, add the word. How many know the scripture says the word of God is quick and powerful? It's a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. And it also says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we used to think that means if I just study enough, then I can be approved by God. But what happens is when you study, you find out you're already approved by God. Hallelujah. That he has a weak spot for you. That he's head over heels in love with you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Hallelujah. And then the last thing, and I'm sure there are more, but the last thing we can add is fellowship. Fellows together in the same ship. How many know we are better together? Because we can draw ourselves aside and try to fight our battles on our own. But how many know when Moses stood on the mountain, he had a lot of pressure on him. He said, Moses, man, as long as you stand up there and you got your hands up, everybody down in the valley, they're going to win their battles. How many know that's a lot of pressure? How many, anybody, you don't raise your hand for this one, okay? But anybody in here felt like if I go down, we're all going down? That I got all the pressure on me? If I fold, we're all folding. I mean, as parents, as leaders, bosses, whatever, we get a lot of pressure on us. Yeah, as long as you got it together, we're all good. But man, you go down, we're all going down. He said, Moses, as long as you keep your hands up, they're going to win down in the valley. They're going to win their battle. But guess what happened to Moses? After a while, you get weary. You get tired. You get weak. So guess what he did? He sent him an Aaron and a Hur, a man named Aaron and a man named Hur. And they held up the hands of Moses. And they said, when they stood together as three, how many know now we got the strength of all of us? And it's not just on Moses, but it's on all of us, and we stand together. Aren't you glad we're better together? Hallelujah. And not only do we stand together, but we stand with the greatest mediator that there ever was, Christ Jesus, who stands on our behalf. Hallelujah. And lifts my hands when I'm weary. Hallelujah. Who strengthens me when I'm weak. Who carries my burdens when I think that it's all on my shoulders. And I realize, hallelujah, that we are joined together as a body. And that's the purpose of God, for us coming together in fellowship, to be joined together in a body that every joint supplies. Yep. And then when the body function is one, there's not much that can't be accomplished. Amen. When we share the needs, the burdens of one another, not in accusations, but as one heart, one mind, and one body, Him being the head, as God has joined us together, hallelujah, then we add those things to our life: prayer, praise, worship, and fellowship. Hallelujah. And we are stronger because of it. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Thank you for your attention and your participation in the Word. Hallelujah. How many know we all need a time of meditation? It's not even so much always what we take our mind off of as what is we put our mind, what we focus our mind on. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just taking your focus off the problems, but putting your focus on the problem solver. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song this morning as we're waiting for the children to come and minister to us.